Good morning, everybody. Don't that sound so calm?
Never.
Very calm and very relaxed.
Before the storm.
It's all right. Everything that can go wrong is in the process of going wrong.
Finish now.
My recorder now is not finished. I see that the battery is beginning to go. I think it's the sun. The sun didn't want me to say this year. This year is a continuation from last week, and you'll see exactly how it is a direct continuation. The Rambam. The Rambam is a famous Rambam. It's the Rambam which enunciates fundamental principle of faith number 12. The Rambam said there are 13 articles of the faith. Everybody knows number 12. An imamim ben munash leimav v'yad ha-mashiyah. Ba'af al-pishe nitmameya. In kol seach ha-kelo v'chol yom shir yomo. I believe with perfect faith in the coming of the Mashiach. And even if he may tarry and take his time, I will wait impatiently for his arrival. The Rambam says, ha-melech ha-mashiyah. Osid lamod. David. This is toward the end of the Rambam's magnum opus, the Mishnah Torah. But the next to last chapter, King Mashiach is going to arise and return the kingdom of David to its original glory, the Yashna. Chosra, the Yashna. La'am Shalach HaRishonah, its original power as a ruling body. Uboneh HaMikdash, Mashiach is going to build the Beit HaMikdash, Umekabeh Tzidchei Yisrael, he will gather in the dispersed of Israel. The Chozin Kol HaMishpatim B'Yamach B'Shaharim Mekodem, all of the laws of Torah are going to return in his days to what they were originally. There are all sorts of, there are sins for which there's capital punishment, and it's going to be, everything's going to be the way it was according to Torah. Makrivim korbanos, they're going to be sacrifices brought in the Beit HaMikdash. Osu shmitin v'yovlot, shmita and yovel is going to be min haTorah. Since the end of Vayit Rishon until today, shmita and yovel has been mid haRabbanan. It's not min haTorah, because min haTorah you need kol yosher haOlam, you need all of Israel and Eretz Yisrael, all of Israel. And not only that, each Jew has to know what tribe he was from and where his nachla was. That's when Shemitah and Yovel again is going to be in our Torah. The also Shemitah and Yovel, the Chol Mitzvah, Hamudah of Torah, like all of the mitzvahs as it said in Torah, the Chol Mishen, the Mammon Paul. Anybody who doesn't believe in Mashiach, or Mishen, or the Chakel, the Biato, or the one who does not wait, in other words, in anticipation for his coming, lo b'sharnevi'inu v'avu kofer. It's not in all the prophets alone that he rejects, but you know who he rejects? El b'Torah u'b'Moshe Rabbeinu. A rejection of Mashiach is a rejection of Torah and our Rebbe Moshe, because the belief in the coming of the Mashiach appears not only in the words of the prophets, but it also appears in Torah. Sha'arei Torah he'ido olo, because Torah testifies about Mashiach. Shenema says in Parashat Nitzavim, Shav Hashem Elokecha Shvutcha V'nichamecha, God is going to bring back your captivity and he will have mercy on you. V'shav V'ki Betzman, is going to turn again and he's going to gather you in from all the nations of the world, where you may be. We know these are said time and time again in Slichas. We said it this morning. It's Shavas of the Talmuds. In Yenidach HaKobik Etzer Shemayim, if you will be dispersed to the very ends of the heavens, from there I will bring you. God is going to bring you backward. Unbelievable psukim. There's going to be a great period of kibbutz golos. Jews are going to be brought back from all corners of the world. whatever is said clearly in Torah, hein kolon and kol hadvarim shenevro al yedei rabbi hanavim, they include and they encompass and they embrace all that was said later by the prophets. And here comes the real truth. Av b'parashas Bilam nema, even in Parashas Bilam it's written. You know, from Bilam, this is what we learned last week, but I didn't tell you, you know, that it's talking about Mashiach. Now you're finding out that Bilam, with that one-eyed anti-Semite Russian Russia, he had the ability to see not only the coming of one Mashiach, but the coming of two. The two that Hamlin was talking about, David is Mashiach Rishon, and Mashiach ben David ultimately is going to be the second. By the way, in Chazal, we know that at the end of time of two Mashiachs that will come at the end of time. One is going to be Mashiach ben Yosef, and the other is going to be Mashiach ben David. And there's some kind of a Masorah wrote in the Gemara that Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed, but the Chachmei Yisrael say we can save Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef is the one who is going to build the physical, material, and economic infrastructure of a Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. And Mashiach ben David is the one who is going to bring the spiritual greatness of the Jewish people back to its original state. So now, our Parashas Bilam Nema, the Shom Nivah, there he prophesies about two Mashiachim, the Mashiach HaRishon Shem David, the first Mashiach who is David, Shaoshiach Yisrael Yapsadeyim, who saved Israel from the hands of their oppressors, Uba Mashiach HaAchron, and by the last Mashiach, Shaomei Bidbono, who is going to rise from his sons, Shemoshiach Yisrael HaAchron, who is going to save the Jewish people at the end. The Shom Vuhome, this is the passage that we talked about last week. The Rambam brings the pasuk that NYC and below Ato, Ashuven and below Korah, Dorach Kokobi Yaakov, the Kom Shade of Israel, Umachat Pasim Ba, the Karka Kobin Eshe, the pasuk that has three repetitions at NYC and but not now, Ashuven, I look off into the distance, it's not close, but he's going to come, so the Karam says, this is what Bilam is saying. I see him, but it's not right now, but it's not going to be much further in history. It's going to be soon. That day he's referring to David. But then when he says, Ashurenu, like I look off into the distance, below Karam, and it's not close. Zemelech HaMashiach, that's King Mashiach, the one that we pray for and wait for in anticipation. And then the pasuk goes on to say, Dorach Kochav Yaakov, a star shot out of Yaakov, that's David. Kom Shevet Mi Yisrael, a ruler will rise over Israel, and say, Melech HaMashiach, that's King Mashiach. Umachat Pasei Moav, he will crush the ends of Moav, that was David. David crushed Moav, the king woman. Vayaches Moav, Vayimadadein Machevel, he struck Moav and he measured them with a rope. The character called the name Shays, and he would crush all the sons of Shays, HaMelech HaMashiach, that's King Mashiach, Shinamabo, Umashlo, Yom, Adyam, he will rule from sea to shining sea, Vahyo Edom, and the pasuk in Bilam continues on to say, Vahyo Edom Yeresha, said David, Edom will be an inheritance to the Jewish people that was in the days of David. Shenenu atihi Edom le David avodim Edom was servants to David. V'hoyu Yerusha ze hamelach hamashiach shenema. And then Esav will be the one who will fall into the hands of Melach Hamashiach. That's the pasuk at the end of Sefer Ovadia. V'olu Moshiim b'har tziyon nishvot et al Esav v'aytala Hashem v'ulchav. The day will come that the nations of the world are going to be judged on Har Tzion, Har Amarim. That's the belief in Melech HaMashiach. The one who enunciates it clearly in Torah is our Bilam, our Bilam. And what we learned last week was that the process of Moshiach coming can take one of two forms. And that was the great Or HaChaim that we learned. It can take two forms. It can be something revolutionary that happens in one single moment of time. The heavens open up, and there comes Mashiach. And then there's the other possibility that the coming of Mashiach is going to be an evolutionary process. Bit by bit. Some Jews are going to start planting and plowing in Eretz Yisrael. Jews are going to begin coming. They're going to build a Petah Tikva, a Rishon LeZion. They're going to be Jews who are going to move out of the old city, out to Mishkanot Sha'ananim. It's going to spread out and over a period of 100, 200 years. And then, of course, it's going to go the period of the last 65, which saw an explosion of growth over here that had not taken place in 2,000 years. This is the process that is seen by Bilam. I always wonder, why is Bilam the one that gave us this this nevuah? You know, and sometimes, you know, sometimes we take bringing more seriously than we take our own people. If a guy says, oh, that really means something. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I don't know. The step that we have to take in this year is the following one. Okay, there's obviously been some kind of a process that has taken place over here, unparalleled in all of Jewish history. Is it for keeps? Is it for good? Is it possible that there should be another goat? What are we trying to do? We are trying to prove the great words of Rav Herzog. That was the story we talked about last week. That Rav Herzog in the middle of 1942, Tammuz of Sivan and Tammuz of 1942, he and his wife take their lives in their hands and cross the Atlantic that is infested with German U-boats. And he says he's going back to Eretz Yisrael. Rommel's forces, the Desert Fox. The Desert Fox is banging on the doors of Alexandria. It seems like the Germans are going to make their way into Eretz Yisrael. Well, I'm just reminding you that the British tell the Jewish community in Palestine that they're going to fall back into Mesopotamia and leave all of the Eretz Yisrael open before Rommel, Yimach Shemayim. And here is a man who gets onto a boat from
the British fought against the Rommel in Egypt.
What?
The British fought against Rommel from Egypt and
I hear already.
And also there were Jews from Palestine, which was then, that went and helped them. So they were fighting against them. They didn't say to the Jews, we're going to let them come through.
Wait. You're 50% right. You're 50% right. They were bringing in men and material into the group all the time. They were preparing for a major battle against Rommel. But there was a contingency plan. The contingency plan was, if Rommel breaks through at Alexandria, from El Alamein to Alexandria, then plan two goes into operation, which is falling back into Mesopotamia. That's exactly what the plans were. So we're both right. You're right and I'm right. And the one who's more right than all was the Rebbeinu, you understand? He made it clear, Rommel was not going to make it as El Alamein. And you were right. The 500, we talked about the 500 Palestinian Jews in the Sahara Desert who held Rommel off for over a month and gave time to the Allies to bring in the men and material. That was the story. But the contingency plans were clear and they were known here in Eretz Yisrael. Should Rommel break through, the British leave Eretz Yisrael. They had even, I mentioned last week, they had even left instructions that petrol can't be sold to private people. All petrol must be saved for the British trucks that are going to have to move the British out into Mesopotamia. So I know you're coming to the defense of the British, it's okay. You know, because they have social and they don't have social, you know, okay, whatever it is, I don't have to worry about them. The Muslims already know what to do. Anyway, so Rav Herzog is the one who makes it an extremely dangerous trip, arrives back in Eretz Yisrael. On what day did he arrive back in Eretz Yisrael? On Tesfay in Tammuz, yesterday, 1942, and at the Kabbalah Museum in Rehoboth, he says what he told the American rabbis who were attempting to dissuade him from getting on the boat. He said, there will not be a third
Churban Shlishi.
There will not be a Churban Shlishi. There was not, that's it. No Churban Shlishi. So, our question, how did he know that? How did he know that? So this is the point that we want to make. There was a Masorah. And let's hear what Rishon and Achronim say about coming here for the third time. Because we are the third time. The first was Yoshua, the second was Ezra and Nehemiah. See here, let's make our little journey over here. Number five, immediately below the Rambam. This is a Pasuk in Eicha. Tamat Avoneich Bat Zion. Bat Zion, your sins have ended. Lo Yosif Lahaglotech, you will not be exiled again. Pakat Avoneich Bat Edom, on the other hand, oh God remembers the sins of Edom. Gilo al Chatosayah, God has revealed your sins. The son and the scholar of all generations are going to get their comeuppance. Rashi on that pasuk says, Tam Avoneich Bat Zion, your sins are over. Lo Kiso al Kol Chatosecha, you've been punished for all of your sins. Lo Yosif Lahaglotech, you will no longer be exiled. Migolus Edom Ulahalon O. The Golus in which we are in is Golus Edom. Mm-hmm. Rashi is saying that when you return from the exile of Edom, you will never be exiled again. Rashi is clearly saying there will not be a third exile. We're here now for keeps. Anybody who's thinking of coming out of the yard has nothing to worry about over here. You understand? Nothing to worry about over here. Maybe he does have to be concerned about the United States. What is it? In 2030, the majority of Americans will be Afros. How do you like that? Afros. You're not only going to have an Obama president, you know, the dog catcher in every town is going to be flat. Okay, so, but don't get me wrong, some of my best friends are.
We
don't even know how many.
We have our own problem.
We'll take care of our problems. Okay, that's number five. Number six is from the Sefer Ha'ikrim, Reb Yosef Albo. A whole long chapter where he deals with the whole idea of Mashiach. And then he says, the chain, Masha Zachar, Yibyo, Besefer Kinos. He is going to deal with the same passage that we just learned. What Yibyo said in the book of Kinos, Echo, Tamavoneich Batzion, Lo Yosif Lahagoteich, I Etche Sheyit Kadesh, Elo Alagalut Hazeh Acharon. There is no way to explain that passage in any other way, except that it's talking about the Golos that we're in right now. Shehu HaGolos, leave out the middle of the Bayit Sheni. The Golos, we are the Golos of Bayit Sheni. We were sent into exile in when was it? In 70, all right? Destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. That's it.
Ki
Achar Golos Bogel the Bayit Rishon. After the Golos of Babel, which was the Golos of the first Beit HaMikdash, Kfar Hosif Lahakoteinu Agidei Titus, we did go into exile again through Rome, Titus of Rome. The Shom Nema, and that passage that we just looked at, says, Pakabachonech Bat Edom. Your sin, daughter of Edom, has been remembered. That means we're talking now about the goals of Edom, which is the goals of fighting, changing the one in which we're in. Shom nema pokada bonet bat Edom, shezeh yodeh behechlech al goals Romi. We are called goals of Rome. Shehem son yatzeinu b'kolot achron, that exile does from our land in the last exile. The FRP, Shekitish Hemzer, Yogan, Eshish, Machai, okay, after all that, it says, makes it clear. He is confirming what Rashi says on the passage of Kam Adonai Batsion, Lo Yosef Lahakotet, you're not going to be redeemed, you will not be exiled again. Okay, that was six. For seven, we have to go up to the left-hand side, the top. This is Rabbeinu Bachya, who's safe at the bottom. He writes in his introduction to Sefer at the bottom, but we're coming to that, you know, this is it. We're coming to the end of Pinchas, Matas, Masa, and then that's the end of Bamidbar, and that's all a matter of 3 weeks, and I just wanted to know that we're relevant today. It's not a shiur about the past, it's a shiur about the present and the future. V'acha seifa b'midbar, Rabbeinu Bachya says, V'acha seifa b'midbar Sinai, nityachei ha-sefer hazeh shehu eila ha-dvarim. This sefer, which is called eila ha-dvarim, special sefer. And what's the point of it all? Because sefer dvarim is the sefer of all the preparations for the entry of Jews into Eretz Yisrael. This is it. This is it. They are at the border and they're ready to cross. Moshe dies. Well, the fish ain't eating Yeshua should Yisrael for Eretz Yisrael. Bishnei ha-midoshim she'avru ki'im b'gulah achrona she'en achareh ha-gobos. Do you see what this man says over here? Rabbeinu Bachya. He says the main settlement of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, the one that can be considered permanent, is the third one. Not the period of Bayit Rishon, not the period of Bayit Sheni. Ki im only the Gulach Rona, the last redemption, She'ein Achadeha Galut. There is no exile effort, okay? There will not be another exile. Brother Herzog, yes.
Yes, I learned somewhere in Kabbalah that the third temple is going to come down already built.
The first?
The third.
And just what's been built already?
Well,
the third will be built. The third temple is going to be already built up in heaven and brought down to earth.
That happens to be a very big not focus.
Yeah.
As all things are, according to the Rambam, has chapter after chapter of the mitzvah of Binyan Beit HaMikdash. There is a mitzvah on us to build the Beit HaMikdash. Number two, there are 10 chapters in Yechezkel, from chapter Mem until the end of Yechezkel, where Yechezkel gives us the blueprint of how we're supposed to build it. But then there's a Rashi and others who say that the third Beit HaMikdash is going to come down in fire from heaven. That's what you're referring to. So what are we going to do with these two? If the Rambam tells us it's a mitzvah, the Beit HaMikdash, and it's pretty clear from Torah that it's a mitzvah, that means we're definitely going to be the ones that have to build. Whatever will come down from heaven, sort of completing it, or finishing it, or complementing it, or sanctifying it. I don't know. I'm just a plain Jew. I don't delve in the areas of Kabbalah. I know how often is mitzvah, binyan, beit hamikdash. So I don't know what's going to be, but most probably we're both right. Yeah. Me and you. לקח רוצו לחתום, that's why I'm continuing רבי רבי לכן, רוצו לחתום בספר הזה, שמדבר בסופו בגאולה אחרונה, שהיא כאילו עם חידוש העולם, הוא תכלס בריאת העולם, מעין ספר בראשית שפוסח בו על דרך לא עוד סוף מחלוסת בכל קשר החמישה קושי יותר זה אחר זה. כי החידוש סיבה שהייחוד והגיחוד על ידי כמובן, זה, I'm going a little quickly through here because this is your kind of stuff, you know. If you want to explain it to us, that's okay, but I'll explain to you what's going on. Watch. והקורבונס אין יקורם אלא בארץ ישראל. What's underlined at the end? וישראל אין להם שלמות בכל הזמנים. They will never be complete in their spirituality in all times. כי אין בגאולה אחרונה, only by the last redemption, שאין, again, he repeats the same words, שאין אחריה גאולות. There was no other gaulus after it. That's it. And in a sense, what he wants to say is that Sefer Dvarim is really going to be talking about the birth of the Jewish people, which really is like Bryas HaOlam at the beginning. Bryas HaOlam is the creation of a world. Sefer Bamidbo, which talks about the final creation of a Jewish people preparing to enter Eretz Yisrael, and only in Eretz Yisrael, he said, will we achieve completion and fulfillment, so that Sefer Bamidbo is really the ultimate of the Jewish people. And by the way, we also saw the Talmud said, what's it say at the end of Sefer Bamidbo? In the Sefer Dvarim, Shom Hashem Kevod Shvutcha, God is going to bring you back. It's talking about the return from the second exile, the beginning of the third commonwealth. That's where we are. Okay? Number eight. We're building up the case. This is a medrash in Yalkut Shimoni, where it's underlined. Pasuk in Zecharia v'hashlishit v'vater bo, and the third will remain in her. Elu Yisrael, the third. Elu Yisrael, this refers to Israel, she'ein mityashin v'ratzam, ela v'gumashlishit. They will settle in their land in a permanent sense only at the third redemption. Gul Arishano, which is the first? Gula, Yishama, the first redemption was Gulat Mitzrayim. Gula Shniya, Zu Gulat Ezra, this is Ezra. Gula Shlishit, Einla Hetzei. The third time we come back to Eretz Yisrael, there is no end. It's not interrupted. There's no pause. That's what the Peretz said. That's exactly what the Peretz said. Don't think everybody agrees with this, right? We save the best and the ugliest for the last, the end. Okay. The Radak. On that pasuk of Yechayenu Miyomayim. Just let's read where it's underlined. Yechayenu Miyomayim Zeh HaMamar Hu Al Ha'atid. This statement is about the future. Umayomayim, after the second day. What are the 2 days? Moshul Shnei Goliot, the 2 days referred to the two exiles, Golot Mitzchayim, the Golos Babel, by Yom HaShlishi. When the Navi talks about the third day, Moshul Golos Hazer HaShlishi, this Golos in which we're in now. Sheikimenu mimenu, God will pick us up from it, v'nichye lefonav, and we will live before him, shelo nigla od le'olam, we're not going to be exiled again. V'nichye tomid lefonav koyin, yoma ad shelo nechtel. Okay, next. Number 10, Rav Kook. Of course, you know, he was such a starry-eyed Zionist, you can't really depend on anything he says. But I think it's pretty worthwhile to take a look at what he says. Where it's on the lines. Cain, this is one of his letters, in which he writes, Cain, Aschal, the bull of the beginning of redemption. Vadai ho lechet umofia lefanegu. It is definitely in the process of movement, and it is appearing before us. Tav Resh Ayin Ches. Tav Resh Ayin Ches was 1908. You know when it started? When the revealed end began to appear. The Ketz HaMegula we've spoken about a number of times over the years. The Ketz HaMegula is, do I have to say the pasuk? Do I have to spread out my hands? Do you have to watch all of my motions? The pasuk in Yechezkel, where Yechezkel says, in the name of God, Va'atam Hore Yisrael, you mountains of Israel, give out your branches, and carry your fruit, La'amid Yisrael, my people Israel, be careful of hope, because the time for them to return is coming close. And the Gemara says, when Eretz Yisrael begins to give out produce to support a population, that's the most revealed end of day. That's the case of the Gula. So the Rav Kook in 1908 says, you know, it must have been toward the end of the 19th century that there were already a few settlers here, and they started planting and plowing, and they maybe a little bit a few tomatoes grew, I don't know, who knows what, there was no great shakes in, that's for sure. But by him, he already saw that this is the beginning. Watch. When the revealed end began to be revealed, when the mountains of Israel began to make branches, will I say, and to carry fruit, it's a rephrasing of the passage for the people of Israel whose return is close. That's when this beginning began. Anybody who is through and through with a spiritual view of things has always been waiting for this, the beginning, that the Eretz Yisrael should begin to blossom, and that God is going to bring it to its heights. I don't have to remind you about the shiur that we gave, when was it, about 2 months ago, about Googling Israel agriculture, and you find out that this little country is a world leader in agriculture. It wasn't so in 1908, over 100 years ago.
1918.
I'm talking about 1908, when Rav Kook wrote this letter.
It was 95 years ago.
I'm out of 1980. Don't have to know arithmetic too. Why do you have to know precisely? It's about 100 years ago. 1908, by the way, is 105 years ago. Within 2013. Is my math correct?
That's right. My mother was born in 1908.
Your mother was born in 1908.
She's 104 and a half.
She's still in it?
Yeah.
Mother was Shanky Tom. She was alive when her cook wrote this letter. She's 100. Where's she living?
In a nursing home in Kansas.
Ah, what that woman must have experienced in her life.
By the way, it's very good for all of us. We have hope that the life expectancy is going to keep going. You know,
going on.
We're going to stay around to see if you say your soil will get the worms. You know, we've got a lot to look forward to. And the Mashiach, about the world. You should know the great miracle of an Eretz Yisrael that is fruitful and luscious. That miracle happened in our days. And not through the work of the hand of man. This is God. Man has to be there to sort of look like he's doing something. Man has to build the Beis HaMikdash. But you know who's the driving force behind it? Next page. We're going to move very quickly. Number 11. This is a letter written by the Malbim. You know, let's go to count down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 lines. Or the end of the fourth. V'yeshli kamot ha'yesach, many proofs. Mipshutei ha'ksubim. From the simple meaning of psukim, defeat, tatum, she, the way I explained it. Ki ha'gula titzmach la'at la'at, redemption is going to blossom little by little. K'shachar nachon motzo'o. Like the day, begins with absolute certainty. Holy for all, it goes and gets lighter. Ad nachon hayom, until we're at the middle of the day. Tchila, he describes that the mountain is describing all of this before it ever happened. Because he's describing what he knows from the Pesukim in Tanakh. At the beginning, our Jews are going to settle in Eretz Yisrael with permission given by the rulers of the land. There will be a community of Jews in Eretz Yisrael before the coming of Mashiach. We don't have to wait for Mashiach to come. Wow. If anything, Mashiach is waiting for us to come.
Exactly.
Mashiach wants you. As I wrote in my parish in Yeshayahu, our apostle, the Teren Tochel Yolodah, before she had labor pains, she already gave birth. That means the early Jews coming here before we go through the upheaval of the period of Mashiach. Umi itay nar halavai v'yalach tefzo v'yodo yasman ozeh, this time should be a skotzon. Okay, next. Number 12, the second, Ramban. The Ramban in his parish of Shir HaShirim explains Ki Agula Sidoti Vederhateva. Ramban says in his parish of Shir HaShirim that the Gula to come. Now the Ramban, of course, wrote his parish on Shir HaShirim in the 13th century. That's a good few hundred years ago. And he said it's going to the process is going to be a natural one. A natural one. Ubindishon Ha'umah, this is one of the important statements to make. It's going to come with permission from the nations of the world, which it's unbelievable, really, when you think about it now. Both the League of Nations and the United Nations should vote for the establishment of a Jewish home and a state in Eretz Yisrael. You couldn't get the nations of the world to vote anything for our benefit today. Those two votes that took place in the League of Nations in 1921 or 22, you know, and 1947—it's unbelievable. It could never happen. But it happened. And Obama predicted it 600 years earlier. Come on, look.
ובנישראל מלכי נובס ובעזרוס המייקו לארץ ישראל, it's going to be through the nation of the nations of the world and through their help that Jews are going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the next part. Al Tiftuku Benedivin, the Radak, in his commentary to Tillin, on the words that we say in Davening, Al Tiftuku Benedivin, don't put your trust, in the wealthy, Beven Odom, don't trust man, Shein Lo Tshua, he can't give you salvation. Shein Lo Tshua, If God does not will it, man cannot save his fellow man from any suffering. God alone is the one who brings salvation. God is going to bring it about. The instrument are going to be people. He's going to use people in order to bring about this this salvation. Just like he brought the salvation from those Babel, who was the one that told Jews to go on Aliyah? Koresh, King of Babel. Understand? The king lost it. In the future, Yisraveh, Bulas, Yisroel, De Malchi, Agoyim, through the kings of the nations, that he will arouse their spirit with Sharfu to send them from the coast of Ebius, Kovachetim, Mikovagoyim, Minko Hashem, Vizeb, Yelavi, Shepotku, Yisroel, the Galus of the Kesh, and Barak Levata. Of all things, I happen to be making a study all over again of the life of Theodor Herzl. Oh boy. Remember, people did him a great disservice. The man was a giant. The man was awesome. One of these days, I'll dedicate a share. He gave his life for this idea. And he was the only one that predicted it 50 years ago. 50 years, not 50 years, 100 years ago. He predicted that in 50 years there would be a state of Israel. Everybody laughed at him. But he saw there was only one person that I know of that had vision as clear as Christ. And his name was Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Gadol, who in 1907 wrote a letter to the Jews of Europe. Bowl Eretz Yisrael, come home to Eretz Yisrael. Get out as quickly as you can. He described what was going to happen in Europe. Unbelievable. But of course, we know about Rav Kook. He couldn't see further than his nose, as in the words of a Yerushalmi Rosh Yeshiva. He couldn't see. These two people have unbelievable vision. Unbelievable vision. Anyway, so the Radak says, God is, he's the root of salvation, but he's going to use people. And he knows who he chose. I'm certain he chose Herzl because this man had unbelievable abilities. In a matter of 3-4 years, he did something that nobody did in 2,000 years. He was able to walk into palaces and parliaments and speak to world leaders like, and they looked at him like, yeah, this guy represents a great power. It's unbelievable. His only power was an idea. I'm reading about all of the meetings that he had. Hey, wherever you want to, he was there. All right, that's not for today. Okay. Let's probably start burning these tapes and something. In number 13, Chof Teves Tafshi Tes. Chof Teves, the 20th Tafshi Tes, this is, that's 1949. It's about 3/4 of a year after the establishment of the state, and they were getting ready for elections. And there was a big an announcement made by Tarbone and Admore Herzl, the Rabbonim and the Rebbes of Eretz Yisrael. And this is the first sentence. If I give you the list of who signed who signed that, it's all the luminaries you can think of. Not al Hashem, we thank God al Shezachinu, that we have, with his great mercy and his kindness, we have been zochah to see the first budding of Aschalta the Degula, the beginning of redemption. Vay. That sweet Pesach, Frank signed on it, Reb Shlomo Zalman, Orbach signed on it. You just, what a chassid, sign up, Rashid of Chever. Don't ask who signed it in more than 200 Chabarim and Chassid Yeshivas. Did you what they wrote? Aschalta the Degula. We're going to see anyway if the period we're in is the beginning of redemption. We're going to see. Very strong words about that. Okay, that's all we have to read over here. Number 14, and this, we have learned a piece of Rav Dessler that we can go back to soon in a few moments, but this is the fascinating one that I told you about last week. V'od kamo nisim ra'inu. He's talking about the, it's the middle of the 40s, to the end of the 40s. How many miracles we see? Haita Eretz Yisrael kemo b'tzvat achuza. Eretz Yisrael was caught in a vice. Tzvo oto rosha v'siyato. The army of that rosha, Hitler he means. Yemach shimon v'zichron. U'pit'on b'rega ha'charon shel sgirat ha'tzvat. At the last moment, as the vice is ready to be closed. Hey, what happens? From both sides, everything is turned completely over. Because the Elohim. I think I described to you last week. That's the whole thing, that seems to be the plan. That Hitler was going to make it to Eretz Yisrael from two sides, from the north and from the south. From the south, he was Rommel was coming across North Africa. El Olmein, Alexandria, Cairo, Sinai, in the north, Operation Barbarossa. He's going through Russia. He's made his way through Russia to Iran, down to Syria, bang! Closes the price in Eretz Yisrael's court in the middle. That was his plan. Kafkas, the Caucasians, and El Alamein.
Caucasus.
And then at the last minute, huh?
Caucasus.
The Caucasus?
Yeah.
Kafkas, I'll stick with what. Okay. And then? I ain't got the same baby there? Is that a coincidence? That Hitler is stopped at Stalingrad and stopped at Alemania? That's it just so happened? In Gam, my Gefas Hadever Mikre, you know what I think he's talking about? He must have known more than we know. I told you about the fact that the Rommel's forces took sick the night of the battle. Tens of thousands of soldiers were sick. Dysentery. Shigellosis. The first time I ever heard that word shigellosis. It's a nasty disease. Okay, so I said last week that we had a fellow here who was a doctor in the American army, and he says they learned about what happened to Rommel's army the night of the Great Battle. That's what we say. This is also just a coincidence. All of this testifies that God leads us with miracles. Everything depends on us. If we will be weakened in our ability to see God's acts, in a spiritual manner, ulit kadegalav bel toraton, this should bring us closer to him and to his Torah. Halo yimtzei avon chasashon, if you don't see God and it doesn't make you frumah, boy, that's bad. Yashem vazdenu, litameitz ulit chasek, velo nitareit chasashon, number 15, the Haftz Chaim.
the Chofetz Chaim, no less a figure than the Chofetz Chaim, said Shahagula Tir B'derech HaTeva, Gula is going to be in a natural way. And that's why Yotzah HaBratz, or the Vilna Gaon himself, began a journey to Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to come. There were two great people who journeyed to Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon and the 14th of Al-Shento. And you know what? They didn't make it. Min HaShemayim, they didn't make it. But their Talmidim did. And so Min HaShemayim that they're stopping him. Omar Va'odei, as Talmidus, what he did was, he encouraged his students, Laot Le'Oretz V'Hem, Chichu at HaYishuv Be'Eretz Yisrael, they were the ones who renewed the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. Hikarei Shittasov Shal Agro Al Agula, the Shitta of the Vilna Goyim Al Geula, B'Derech HaTev Al Geula, through natural process, Muvorim Al Yidei Arav Hil Mishplo, B'Tzeretzoav, and his children B'Sforim, Chazon Tzion V'Kol HaTor, and so it says in the Sefer Kol HaTorah, which brings the words of the Gro. L'das Milov, you have to know at the very beginning. Ka'avkal to the Gula Bar, Kimo, the beginning of redemption begins little by little. Ma'at, ma'at. Al pi Chazal, kach hikru latan shek Yisrael, according to our rabbis, such is the redemption of Israel. Kimo, kimo, bo. It comes little by little, ka'ayel of Hashacha, like the dawn begins to break. When I sit in the darkness, Hashem already God is light unto me. And the light gets stronger and stronger until day. Therefore, every act of the beginning of Gula has to be done, even if you do a little bit. One person comes, two people come. Clown bottle who up here, Abenu Agro, Shakoa Dram shall see the love of the Shlemus Agula, Matkilin Kimah Kimah. Everything that brings to the completion of redemption comes little by little. Take it easy, understand? Take it easy. And it comes by man. The Chen Binyan Yushlaim, Lahatkila Filumi Evanachat. So you have to take a look at Binyan Yushlaim over a period of a thousand years. But now, what was the point of all of this? The point of all of this was, when Rav Herzog said that there won't be a third exile, he was on solid ground. Third exile, last exile. Jews come back to Eretz Yisrael, it's for keeps. It's good. That's the fact. So now this fellow who wrote the article about Rav Herzog's statement, his question is, why is it attributed by everybody to Rav Herzog? When you see all of these sources that we can also say, there will be no exile when Jews return for the third time. Why is it attributed to Rav Herzog? It's obvious that the answer is simple. The only person who put his life and his wife's life on the line and believed it with perfect faith and set out on a 3-week perilous journey in an Atlantic swarming with U-boats. He set out on that journey. He's able to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and while Rommel is still at LL9 getting ready to break through, he tells the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, I promise you, lo yavo tzar va'oyev, the enemy will not come. Do you know what awesome, but in Yiddish they say, what break the places, what shoulders you have to have for that? In other words, the belief that there will not be a third Golus was so much a part of Rav Herzog, and he's the only one that we can point at and say, he put his life where his hashkafa was. It wasn't just nice words that he'll say in a sermon someplace. He lived it to the point that he was ready to risk his life. The boat that he went down, that he went on could have gone down like the boat before or the boat after, but it didn't go down. And it's not because the name of the second boat was New York. That was the second boat. The boat that took him from New York all the way to Cape Town was the New York. The boat that he was supposed to be on 5 days earlier was the Robert Moore. I don't know who Robert Moore was, but that boat went down in the Atlantic, and everybody was lost. Rav Herzog lived this. So now, here it is, I started talking about this last Tuesday, you know, last Tuesday's shiur. This is part two, and we're finishing it. So I come home, you know, I'm pretty exhausted. I say two shiur on Tuesday. Thank God today, I don't have the second shiur. I wouldn't have the energy to say it. It's a fast, I don't have the energy. So I come home, you understand. What do I want when I come home? I want to relax. I want to take it easy, you know. Have a cup of coffee, you know. So Tuesday, Tuesday is the day that we get a free Atei Ne'eman in our mailboxes. The Atei Ne'eman newspaper, we get it free in Harnov. That's one of the perks of living in Harnov.
Wow.
On Monday you get Mishpacha free, on Tuesday you get the Atei. By Wednesday you have your Kasa Inyanim, Thursday you have HaShavua, and right before Shabbos, right around candlelight time, to top the week off, you have Hapelas. Now, each one of them is a very religious newspaper. I don't want to use the CH word, the Ches word, because they'll accuse me of being a basher. I'm not a basher. So they have these very religious papers. And this is what I read. You have the second sheet? Today's sheet? Let's read. Remember, I just came home from two shiur. I'm wiped out. It's 2:00 in the afternoon. I want to sit down and have lunch. Ha-ha-shtofa ha-charedis. Second line, it's underlined. You know what the ha-shtofa ha-charedis is? Ha-de-roa, the Medina Sassoil sees the state of Israel. O-shlav v'cheshkat ha-galot. Another stage in the darkness of exile. Ulai shlav kasher, ulai most difficult, the most difficult nisayim we have to go through, you understand? You think Khmelnytsky's pogroms? You think Hitler Germany? You think the Tsar's Russia? That was difficult goals. Peanuts is oil! Here it's real bad. This is the darkness of the gods. You see, I'm getting sick already all over again. Golus ben Yehudim Tahim, exile amongst Jews, Dorav. Mistaken, I will Golus the hold up. You know what I like? Hashtof Azot Dogilet, the Hashtof HaChavetis is. They were surrounded, you understand, by the Romans all over. Roman legion number 10 is someplace around the Mevaseret, you understand. We're surrounded by the Romans over here, but we have our few little Yavne v'chachomeha, a few little B'nai Torah. That's what we have to say. Okay. The only difference is, you understand, Rome didn't pay for the yeshivas. But the Golus ben Yehudim Tayyim, you understand, is that they do pay for it, and everybody, they were all upset because they don't want to pay for it all the way they used to pay. Okay? Now, you know what? The truth is, after I finished reading this, I felt better. Now I know exactly why I have nothing to do with that Ashkafa. Am I part of a Masorah that looks at the events through the eyes of a Leventular? I see it through the eyes of the Nevi'im. I see it through the eyes of a Chofetz Chaim, a Chris, a Radak, a Malbim, a Rav Kook, a Rav Herzog, Dorei Olam. This is the deepest, darkest promise of all. Or Rav Shlomo Zalman in 200 Admochim of Rabbanim, who saw the establishment and said there's a skull to the door. Not the darkness of Golos, the darkness of Golos. Get out of here, Greg.
When did it disappear?
What?
When did this appear?
Last Tuesday when I came home.
Last Tuesday!
Last Tuesday! I'm telling you why I'm so upset when I come home on Tuesday. I'm afraid you won't have me reading the update today. So I know what you're going to tell me. All my friends tell me, sir, read the update. So I don't know what we're going to do. I'm going to say
you won't have a share.
What?
Then you won't have
a share. I don't want to have a share, yes. So now I want to conclude with this is a piece from Dessler that we learned a few weeks ago in a different context. This is a letter that was written by Dessler 4 months after the establishment of the state, in the summer of 1948. What we find ourselves in right now, the Eretz HaKadosh in our holy land, right now it's difficult to define it as a scout of the Gula, the beginning of redemption. It was much too early to make that kind of a definition. But of course, Rav Kook had said that in 1907, 1908, in the letter that we read from him. But Rav Dessler says we can't do that yet. I'm a little co-funding. Chasodim gedolim in akotzer, certainly one has to understand. It's 4 months old, the Medina, and they're in the middle of waging war with 7 Arab nations, and Rav Dessler says, but great God's kindness from one extreme to the other. Mikzei ha-yisurin shel churban sheshes alfei alof me'achenu, from the churban of millions of our brothers, El Kotzei Hasheni, to the other side, Hityashvut Amenu B'medinato B'eretz HaKadosh. Our people, settled in his own country, his own state. He used the dirty word state. B'medinato B'eretz HaKadosh, in the homeland. He, of course, was totally unaware that this, what was beginning, was the darkest gullus of all. Cheshkas ha-gullus. Okay? Mizet sotakulimu, the kvar amun ha-malei, from this we have to learn, we have established in our hearts the belief. Oy lemi sheyavo liyom adin v'adayin sumahu mi liros dolam u'chashi kazeh. Woe to the one who will stand up for judgment for God on the day of judgment, and he is blind to what's taking place before his very eyes. You know why he's blind? Because to him it's the darkness of the gods. Maybe the darkest day comes. This is a hashgacha for us. This is not a hashgacha. Rav Herzog saw clearly that this is already the third return. This is the beginning of a process of the Ula. There will be no exile after this. He put his life on the line when he said that. His whole everything, his whole reputation, everything. He's going to stand up over there and he tells the Jews and Arabs as well. And Tez Zion Tammuz in 1942, and Naftiach, I promise you, the enemy will not enter the gates of Arabs as well. God, does that take courage? Conviction? That's why this great statement is attributed to Rav Herzog. And that's why, who was it? Somebody just told me in shul 2 days ago. A fellow by the name of Rav Yitzchak Kaifman, down in the shul, he wrote a magnificent sefer on the laws of the army and halacha, and he was one of those. This sefer, he was a learning in Keren Yavne, and this sefer, as he'd write chapter by chapter, he'd get on a bus and come into Yerushalayim, and he'd bring the chapter to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Shlomo Zalman always told him to come back in the morning. He would come back in the morning, and there would be all sorts of comments, additions, subtractions. Rav Shlomo Zalman went over the whole sefer.
So he told me just 2 days ago, Shul, he told me that Rav Yashiv said that Rav Kook was a Kadosh and Rav Herzog was a Tzaddik. I have a number of stories that I can tell you about the Tzidkus of Rav Herzog. He was a Palmidus, but that's not for today. That's not for today. But I can save that for another time. I consider it great schus that I knew that man, and I'd say he didn't say anyone well, and that I received smicha from him. Okay, you should have it somehow.